Welcome to the SNS ICE podcast, your go-to source for the latest news and in-depth insights into the world of 6G in Europe. Join us as we dive into industry news, analyze the latest trends, and discuss the development of the new generation of cellular networks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another SNS ICE podcast. I am Marios Nikolaou from BINET in Greece. We have a leading testbed in the University of Patras, and we are focusing very heavily on 5G and 6G projects and testing use cases. I'm very happy to have with us today Yann-Eric Vignier, who is a leading expert in all that have to do with geospatial technologies, XR, the metaverse. And we will be discussing a little bit the relationship between 5G, 6G, and all these geospatial technologies that are emerging as a leading use case for mixed reality. Yann-Eric, welcome. Would you like to give a little bit of introduction to yourself?
Yeah, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be invited here to speak and have the opportunity to represent kind of the open standards perspective into this discussion. So I'm the managing director of the Open Air Cloud Association. I'm also participating in the Metaverse Standards Forum, as well as being a co-chair of GeoPo Standards Working Group in OGC. OGC is the Open Geospatial Consortium. So I'm involved in quite a few standards-related and interoperability-related initiatives. And also, I have a startup that is kind of a little bit on the pause, basing the business model on 5G and edge compute for AR. We can talk more about why that's on pause later if we want to do that.
Sure. And thank you very much for joining us. And you are one of the most relevant people to have this kind of topic. So let's get right into it. I'll ask you a few questions. Feel free to, you know, elaborate and give us your opinion. What is the state of the metaverse and XR globally? Are we even still calling it the metaverse? What's really going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, that word. It's so, that word in itself is so much tied now to this kind of hype cycle that burned and crashed. So it's not necessarily the best word. And it's not kind of my favorite word, but just the same, people still understand what it's about, I think, mostly if you pull it up. But more mundane words like XR, you know, spatial computing, might be more popular in the industry these days just because of this hype cycle hangover. But that whole noise with the hype cycle kind of camouflages some real progress that is going on beneath. If you just look at Twitter or the tech media, you could imagine it's all over. If there's no hope, but that's very misleading, you know. Every year, you see better devices coming out, like better visual, better tracking of the real world. You have more compute, you have better rendering quality, the experience is just always improving. And you see like this steady adoption in different industry sectors, in different industry verticals, where you are, like in the early days, it was all about this like gimmicky kind of advertising or proof of concepts that you couldn't really make use of, but more and more you are seeing that like real businesses are getting return on investment of using technologies. But even though that is the case, it's short of expectations. So we would have imagined maybe a few years ago that we would have been further along today. And I think part of that has to do with a little bit like lost opportunity with connecting the 5G, 6G telecom worlds and geospatial and the XR or metaverse worlds.
Well, then let's get right onto that. I agree, by the way. Are we beginning to see some standardization activities for interoperability?
Oh, yeah. Well, standardization activities have been ongoing since kind of I started taking more an active participating role around 2018. So it's nothing new. And when I first started like taking like professional participation, there had been some previous standards efforts, but if you're looking at kind of the, if you follow the money, if you look at the big corporations and what they were doing back in those days, it really didn't seem like they were interested in the interoperability thing. And I think that has changed with the arrival of the Metaverse Standards Forum, that at least nominally, they've all joined together. All the big companies, with maybe exceptions of Apple, more or less are in this organization where the intention is to have these high-level discussions and doing concrete projects on how to bring together different standards to make them work together. So I think there's like a real shift there. But before that, you had organizations like W3C, you had Etsy, you had OGC, and you had the organization that I'm, it's not like OpenAI Cloud isn't actually a standards organization, but we're advocating and developing the precursors to standards. So those things were going on before the Metaverse Standards Forum, but now that you have that, I think that is a huge opportunity to get much further.
Tell us a little bit more about the Metaverse Standards Forum, in case for the people that are not familiar with it, I am, but please expand a little bit on that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit brainchild of a guy called Neil Trevett, who is, I think, still the president of the Kronos Group. For those who are into computer graphics, that is the standards organization behind OpenGL, that is now WebGL. There's like a ton of different accelerated computing standards coming out of that organization. So he and a few like key people in the industry started to like make some calls around, and they put together and he invested a lot of his time to form this organization, and it was like an overnight success. Like everybody wanted to join. So all the big companies, with like a few exceptions, joined in. Plus, like hundreds of smaller ones as well. So, if you want to participate, I am strongly encouraged doing that. There are some key working groups that some of them have been operating for some time, and some are quite new. But I would maybe point to, let's see, I'm trying to go to the, if you go to metaversestatusforum.org, there you will find like a list of the working groups. And there's one that is for real virtual world integration, which is kind of the physical part of the metaverse. The one that if I'm going to go back to OpenAI Cloud, our biggest vision is to take the inspiration from the open web platform, the whole thing that like took off in the 90s and lay the foundation for the modern digital era, that where everyone is connected to everyone and we're living this digital enhanced lives. So we're going to take that inspiration for how that kind of became really scalable and hopefully move towards what we call an open spatial web platform. So if you just think about the metaverse, it could be VR, but a lot of people are more interested in AR. You could have any kind of mix between that. And so we're kind of focusing on where the physical world is fused together with the digital world. So you have a digitally upgraded physical reality. That is where we intend to enable this new spatial web, make that just as scalable and interoperable as the web. So that would be the working group in the Metaverse Standards Forum for that real virtual world integration. And then there's also is one for network requirements and 5G. So if you're interested in these technology areas, those are the key working groups in the Metaverse Standards Forum.
Wonderful. Okay. So it sounds like there is some collaboration between geospatial and telecom communities, but are they really working together? Can we do something to improve that? Either within the MSF or something relevant?
Yeah, well, the whole aspect of building out telecom infrastructure is a very real-world endeavor. You're building these radio masts all around, and you want to optimize that. So from the get-go, you're going to be interested in spatial computing to enhance the rollout of your 5G or 6G infrastructure. So that is one aspect. But when you're looking at the kind of AR metaverse part of that whole picture, it's interesting that that is also something that should be this physical build out. Like if I'm sure your audience is familiar with the concept of edge computing over 5G. And that is, if you wanted to specify something called the edge cloud, that would be kind of, instead of the normal public cloud where you have these massive data centers that are very centralized, when you're building this, you care about latency. You want to have, if you want to do an AR experience, you move your head, you want to have immediately the rendering back from the edge. So you don't want these massive data centers. You want to have compute that is distributed alongside the telecom infrastructure. And then that whole thing is a geospatial project. So there's nothing in principle that should keep these people from working together if they want to make the best possible scenarios.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I guess you're saying that mixed reality and 5G, 6G really need each other to fulfill their full promise, even architecturally and even from a perspective of resources, computational resources being available where they're needed. Is that what you're thinking is the future of essentially telecom and mixed reality and XR kind of projects coming together?
Yeah, I think that could lay the foundation for this next era of all these different technologies. So one thing that now we're in this kind of shadow of the hype cycle for that metaverse thing, maybe, you know, the one that peaked sort of around 2021 when Facebook got renamed to Meta. So that was probably the top of the hype cycle. Now, if you look at the same tech folks on Twitter and in the tech media, you will see that AI is dominating everything. And if you look a little bit closer on what's going on within AI, you can notice that there's now a shift towards the more real world aspects of AI, because it started a little bit abstract with the text, you know, the ChatGPT sensation. But already back then you have the generative images. But now we're seeing when a company like OpenAI releases their Sora model, and they say that the Sora video generation model is actually like a world simulation AI. That is interesting. And when you see all these AI companies are investing heavily in robotics, you see that AI is moving out of the chat window and into the real world. And that is where they're going to meet up with AR. And I think that's like a key thing that will start to unfold. It's already kind of prominent in discussions now in the AI circles. So one of the board members of OpenAI Cloud is always saying that AI and AR is joined at the hip. And an aspect of that is, you know, you want to localize your device properly, and with AI you can have better localization, but you also want to understand the environment around the user, whether you're like for fun or for professional use cases. The better your systems actually understand the physical location around you and the context, the real world context in more detail, the better and more useful the experiences can be. And I think that is something that hasn't really been taken advantage of. The AI technology has moved way faster than AR and metaverse technologies the last few years. But if they kind of hook on to that opportunity better, then you will see, I assume, you will see a lot of improvements on the AR and metaverse sides that will give the whole industry way more traction and become more usable.
I guess what you're saying is that there's not just two worlds, there's three worlds coming together.
Yeah.
The geospatial people, the telecom people, and now the AI people. probably moving towards the direction of some kind of spatial AI with the available resources to be able to execute that, right?
Yeah. So there you hit kind of the nail on its head. And that's where I was like trying an elaborate path of trying to arrive at this conclusion that the glue between all of these things, I would say, is high speed, low latency networking to connect to that edge compute. Because when you're doing these things out there in the real world, whether it's just the visual parts of it or if it's the AI inference that helps you understand the world, you need to send a lot of data to the edge cloud. And then you need to have the response coming back really fast from the edge cloud. And this thing, that's a lost opportunity. That is like the golden key that will unlock so much potential if we can do that right.
So what can we do to accelerate this collaboration and testing use cases? What do you think are the best ways forward?
I think one of the huge troubles today in the 5G telco sector is there's this focus on on-premises use cases that are very ad hoc. So that like, yeah, okay, we're going to sell this very high-end infrastructure to some auto manufacturer or something. And they're going to pay us really handsomely for doing that. And, you know, like if you're looking at it in isolation, it might look kind of profitable. But it's a small, tiny thing because it doesn't really affect the everyday life of every people. So there's a lack of interoperability when it comes to you have any kind of user on any kind of telecom provider, any telecom operator should be able, in principle, to connect to these new edge compute services that could be on any edge compute provider. And like you could have Google, Amazon, or any other kind of compute provider should feel that, oh, here's this market we can serve. And we're now want to build out this infrastructure of compute. But since there's kind of a lacking glue there on the standards interoperability side, there's no way for instance, I mentioned the company that I'm sort of put on pause. The reason we're on pause is because we cannot really, if we made that application that will do this ray-traced visualization of buildings for a site, it's all ad hoc. We cannot deploy it. We cannot like say, now we built the software and we have the data, we're going to publish it, and then people will get access to it. The way we have to do it is we're going to have to call up some telecom operator and we're going to have to set up our own physical servers and connect them to their 5G backbone. And it's taking a lot of time and we have to bear the compute infrastructure cost ourselves. Like, it just doesn't scale. But if there were standards that gives you this multi-edge compute to multi-operator out of the box, if you have that in place, facilitated by like the kind of standards that are being discussed in the Metaverse Standards Forum, then things will happen. So that is kind of the dream. That is where we should kind of, if we want to shift the focus a little bit away from these kind of ad hoc on-premises things for large industrial use cases and over to aiming for that future of this ubiquitous use of these technologies, then we can make a lot of more progress for the whole industry.
Okay. Well, I just want to emphasize ending here. Also, I think the need for testbed, and obviously before you go full scale investment, there are various new testbeds that are coming online, especially in Europe. For example, our testbed in Pinet, in Patras, in Greece. And this is really what the focus is. And I believe that even the MSF now is recognizing the need for some more open kind of like testbeds and areas where various companies can come and play with a little bit on the side of the mainstream telecom network so that we can start testing these new use cases, devices, and even protocols that are being evolved. What do you think of testbeds in general?
Yeah, I think that's the exact right place to start right now, because one thing is to say, here's kind of the long-term vision. This is where we should kind of aim for. But you can't just do that. You need to actually build the stuff and test it. And that's where the test beds are crucial. They are kind of critical now. So, you know, it's early days in this kind of collaboration, because one indication of that is in the Metaverse Standards Forum, the Network Requirements Working Group, just started working. So these are kind of the early days for that kind of gluing together. And I'm really happy that the Metaverse Standards Forum takes a keen interest in, for instance, that testbed in Greece. I think that is spot on, because we actually, like, based on that long-term vision, we need to just do the experiments, bring the best technology we have available today, and try some of those things that we haven't seen. Can we do that in ways that points towards the future, so that it's not just ad hoc, so that it's on the track to become open, interoperable, and scalable, just like the web?
Wonderful. Yeah, Eric, I'd like to thank you so much for all these amazing insights that you gave us. Thanks for joining today. And that concludes this SNS ICE podcast transmission.
It's been a pleasure, Marius. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by SNS ICE, an EU-backed project focused on creating a collaborative environment for the development and deployment of 6G smart networks and services. The project has received funding from the European Union's Horizon Europe Research and Innovation Programme under Grant Agreement number 1010958411.